Today's October 5th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $27,524.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just waiting for that October surprise.
Yep. Yeah, and I think we've touched on that before, but kind of take us through a little bit of some of that history of some of the negatives in October that typically happen.
Well, typically, big stock market crashes happen in October. I mean, we kind of talked about it last year, and nothing really happened. But, you know, this is a new year and everything, like I said, stasis is just weird. Everyone knows that the economy's not doing great, even though the media is gaslighting us. But the history goes, 1929, Black Friday?
Mm-hmm.
That happened in October. Another big stock market crash from the 80s, 87. I mean, the stock market, that was actually the biggest crash by percentage, I think. That happened in October, and 2008, the last big one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was in October. It's kind of funny because Bitcoin has kind of the inverse correlation to October being negative. Within the crypto space, they call it Uptober for Bitcoin, because typically in the past, Bitcoin's actually very bullish in October. We have seen Bitcoin, you know, trying to retake the $28,000 to $29,000 range. We hit as high as $28,582 on the second. Today we went up to $28,121. So it keeps on trying to punch that needle up through there, but it hasn't been able to keep it. Although, I mean, we are, I think $1,000 higher than what we were last time we recorded. I thought we were at like the $26,000 range. Do you recall?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was about that range, 25 something.
Yeah. So there, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see what plays out with that. I mean, we have crazy stuff going on. I mean, the government obviously didn't shut down. That didn't happen, and no. All they did was they bought 45 days or something like that.
Yep, bought 45 days, but it cost the Speaker of the House's position.
Yeah, and now the Republicans would rather have no Speaker than have a plan in place. And of course now, whether they're going to do for the next 45 days is try and elect another speaker rather than actually try and sort this mess out. But I don't
blame them. I mean, just if you look at what's been happening, the blank check for Ukraine has been happening. They've been kicking the can down the road. I mean, they just, instead of suspending the debt ceiling, they just ignore it. We're gonna fund it 45 more days. You just keep doing that and doing that. Yeah. There's really no plan in place. It's ridiculous.
Well, and one of the interesting things about that, not that I want to go too far down this whole thing with Congress, but the interesting thing about that is that the reason why he got kicked out, right, was because he basically made concessions to the Democrats again to be able to get to approve this temporary spending bill. To kind of allow them to kick the can down the road. So the hard right-wing Republicans were really upset about that. And then now the Dems, like he told the Dems, I'm not going to make you any more concessions. So they voted completely against him.
Yeah.
So it was all the Democrats voted against him and like six Republicans voted against him. And that was enough to get him ousted.
It was eight.
I'm like, that was a pretty close vote. Like, I mean, it wasn't like by a landslide by any means.
No, but I don't know. It's just kind of weird how the games are played in Congress.
Yeah, no, they'd rather throw fits and not get anything done. They just don't want to work for the American people. And that's on both sides. It's not Republican or Democrat. They're both that way. So,
cool. It's the uniparty.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, hopefully we'll have to see how this month plays out. We're supposed to be getting a job report tomorrow. that's supposed to get released. We'll see what those numbers look like.
Well, remember, if we're going to have to wait 6 months for those to get revised back down to their correct numbers, so...
to be the actual thing, yeah. One of the things I was kind of curious about, which we'll have to touch on next week, because we should get CPI numbers next week, was I was kind of curious what CPI was going to look like, but then there was a possibility that we're going to get delayed if we had the shutdown. So apparently that's not going to happen, so everything's kind of in motion again. But since it is October, I thought I would bring this up because I thought this was kind of interesting. Against the odds, Bitcoin sees the fewest obituaries in 10 years. Bitcoin has only died 7 times this year in 2023.
And by obituaries, you mean like newspapers declaring it's dead?
Yeah. Bitcoin obituaries. It's been kind of a famous meme. And if you go to 99bitcoins.com, they track it. Like every time somebody writes and claims that it's dead, it just adds another hash tick to it. And so far in Bitcoin's life, according to print, it's died 474 times. So this year it's died 7. So, hey, there you go. The last time something was printed about it was, April.
Yeah. I think the timing on April is pretty terrible.
Yeah, I think so too, because that was right after we had that was the big rally that we had this year, was back in April.
Yes.
Well, March.
After the end of March, early April, Silicon Valley Bank, that's when everyone went, what the heck?
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Shows what they know. And.
Hey, I mean, at a certain point, I think the Bitcoin definitely has a much longer future than the dollar, but you know, I've thought the dollar was going to die any day now, and it's not happened. So, everyone's demise is predicted way too early. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's true. One thing that I thought was interesting today too, and you may get a kick out of this. So I was listening to, some of the trial for, or at least the news, the highlights from the Sam Bankman-Fried trial, from the Wall Street Journal of all places. And, so they started talking about, you know, different terms that they just don't understand that's being used in the courtroom. So I was kind of curious. I'm like, this is coming from the Wall Street Journal, and this is about, you know, basically a fintech company. You know, it's crypto based, but it's still fintech. And they were like, do you know what fiat means? Like, I was like, are you serious? This is from the Wall Street Journal.
They're not hiring the best anymore.
Apparently not. And then they're like, do you know what the market makers are? I was like, what? This is the Wall Street Journal. Again, I had to double check. I went over and I checked to make sure. I'm like, am I listening to the Wall Street Journal, or is this just some like person just giving their 2 cents on this case?
No, but it was actual legit Wall Street Journal article.
It was a podcast from the Wall Street Journal that they released, like they do them daily. And I listened to them almost every day at lunch. And I was flabbergasted. I was about to tweet them, or not tweet. We don't tweet anymore, right? I don't know what you call it now, but I was about to Z them. How would you say that? Anyways. Yeah,
we'll call it a scissor.
See, I was gonna scissor him, and I was just like that. That blew me away. They didn't know what fiat was, and
you got to say most Americans don't. I mean, people who are obsessed with Bitcoin or obsessed with Austrian economics knows what that is, but that's a very small percentage of people.
I guess, like it just blew my mind, and I think. It threw me for a loop and really kind of, I don't know. I mean, my definition, like I've got this simple definition. It's like, it's government money. And I was just, in my head, fiat is always money by decree. That's what fiat means. And that's because it's been around, they've called it fiat for longer than the U.S. government has existed. So it's not just our thing. But that made me kind of a little bit sad inside, I got to say.
Yeah. Well, technically, if you go back in the old days, it's the king's decree, right? He would just say that this is it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I say it's money by decree, right? Like it's not necessarily just the U.S. government that says it, or the government in general. It's whoever was the head in charge, you know?
So, the real market maker.
Yeah. The real market maker right there. And just, it broke my heart inside. And then I think it was on Tuesday, I saw this and it made me kind of happy. And I think I sent you a screen grab from the article. But basically, the SEC, we had talked about how the SEC was going to take years to do this appeal. And apparently they tried to submit the paperwork. And already Judge Torres denied it, like rejected their appeal for the XRP lawsuit.
That got slapped down immediately.
Immediately.
That's actually, I'm so pretty surprised, because I was figuring they'll just take a long time. They'll resubmit the paperwork and get the process going again against XRP. But, and Torres is coming through.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of crazy. Like, I don't know if you know, we talked about it last week about Gensler being, you know, in the congressional hearing and kind of just getting tore whooped up on. And like we said, I don't know how much of it's for show, whatever the case may be, but it's kind of interesting how the SEC is kind of starting to look like the person, like, just getting thwarted on all sides.
Well, in the Biden administration, they're not exactly bringing the best, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, and I don't disagree. I'm kind of amazed that, I guess the government's, I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of, I've been so used to being on the outside, like, especially within the crypto space, like companies just not liking Bitcoin, and like everybody says it's a scam, it's not the future, and it feels like the tide is turning in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it makes me question what else is going on in the background.
I agree. I mean, with everything else that's happening, well, and the SEC is taking their time, ETFs. I mean, things aren't exactly going Bitcoin's way entirely yet.
No, not yet. But I mean, well, and that's I guess part of the scary part of that too, though, is like, you know, as Bitcoin becomes, which it shouldn't, it was never meant to be, but as Bitcoin becomes more and more commonplace within our traditional finance system, like how many derivatives and those types of things are going to appear from that whole mess that's just going to make Bitcoin a la like gold, you know? And we've talked about that, I think, before on the podcast as well, but.
Yeah, I just think if it'll be interesting to see what happens to the price of Bitcoin once these spot ETFs go into effect.
Yeah, it's one of those things where unlike gold, the one thing that I can say is that we can pull our Bitcoin off the exchanges, right?
Right.
If you're willing to do the self-custody, you can just pull that out of there and nobody can touch it.
Yep.
As long as you're wise about it. But, you know, I mean, and if Coinbase is actually reporting their accounting properly, they should be able to show, hey, you know, there's not that much Bitcoin on the shelves. Because, I mean, we've been hearing that for so long. And I want to say, you know, even last year when we talked about, in 2021, we talked about, like, the run on the crypto exchanges because there wasn't going to be as much Bitcoin. And, like, we're waiting for that supply shock to really kick. And I just don't know when that'll take place.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think that the futures trading on that, I think that's where the Bitcoin's price is being suppressed, because there's a lot of Bitcoin issued on paper.
Yeah.
And once that's handled with a spot ETF, I think that's going to open up a lot more people's eyes to the true scarcity of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do hope that that's what takes place with that. I mean, Only 21 million Bitcoin will ever exist. 6 million of them are lost forever, and we're still waiting for like 1.8 million to get made. So the majority of them out there are already out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty much dang near. I mean, can't do the math. 21 million, it doesn't divide exactly easily, but I mean, we're pretty high up on all the Bitcoin that's ever going to be made.
Yeah.
You said 6 million of them are lost. And
yeah.
Makes it that much more scarce.
Yeah. It's just something to, I mean, people need to keep that in mind. I mean, it's true supply and demand. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, really drive a lot of people into interest within Bitcoin, especially those that may not understand Bitcoin or like Bitcoin. It's just that true supply and demand. I mean, that's what it is in its purest form. Another thing I was going to bring up on here real quick as well, because I know we're kind of going a little bit long, not too long yet, but Satoshi Nakamoto on X, got to get myself used to saying that, on X has risen again.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like a boomer, and I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter.
Yeah.
So my apologies in advance, but that's interesting. How is that happening?
So we've talked about this guy before. I think he's a complete fraudster, in my opinion. He's going through that lawsuit right now in, I think it's the UK, where he's trying to claim copyright on the white paper. His name is Craig Wright, and he has claimed for the past, it's probably been the past 6 or 7 years that he's Satoshi Nakamoto, that he wrote the white paper, that Bitcoin is his, that nobody can use the white paper, like they can't publish it anywhere on their sites, nothing like that, because it's his personal paper, even though it was released with a fair use when it was published online originally. You know, this guy just feels like a fraud. He's the one that he split Bitcoin Cash and made Bitcoin Cash Satoshi's Vision, which is like a worthless coin at this point. And somehow he's been able to get a hold of the original @Satoshi handle. And I don't know if it's actually Satoshi's, because I don't even know if Twitter probably existed in 2008, maybe. Yeah.
It was about that time frame, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. And so this it didn't join until May of 2018 is when Satoshi Nakamoto joined. Anyways, so on X, Twitter, whatever the case may be, @Satoshi, he created a handle and it's verified. And so there's actually a disclaimer on Twitter saying that this is owned by Craig Wright. This is not Satoshi Nakamoto. So like, if you go check it out, that's what it'll tell you, which is good. I'm glad they're saying that.
The community notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. That's my biggest news for the day. I don't know a whole lot else going on.
Well, no news is good news.
Yeah. Well, I was just kind of seeing, continue to watch and play out what happens with everything. And something else that I saw today that I was going to bring up is, for those of you that are taking that step and making, you know, self-custody your own personal responsibility, just be careful. Do not put your seed phrases into your computer at any time in any digital device. I saw another Reddit Today article saying a person talked about how I recorded my seed phrase onto my Evernote one time, but I deleted it after that. It's like, oh my God. And they got all their Bitcoin got taken off their cold storage device. It's
wow.
Like whether you know, if you put it on anything digital at any time that comes into contact with the internet, it's still in there. You don't ever actually delete a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It goes onto somebody else's server. Yeah. You don't really have control over it.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind. I mean, if you forget, well, maybe did I? Break it up. Don't keep it all in one hardware wallet. Break it up. Like, don't let all your life savings go like that. Just make you sad.
All your Bitcoin savings.
Yeah. Well, for some people, that is their life savings.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not everything you have. But just be wise about that stuff. Just keep it all away. And we've still got work coming with a newsletter, correct?
Correct.
We have the affiliate pages are up. We call it the deals page on the website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com, where you can get yourself a hardware wallet, and we get a little bit of a scratch on the back if you do buy it. And it's we're not selling from a third party or anything like that. It's actually directly from the distributors of those wallets. And please sign up for the newsletter so that way whenever the newsletter does come, you would be some of the first to get it.
Yep. And look for that this upcoming week. They will start dropping.
That's awesome. So yeah, just get in there, get signed up, stay up to date with stuff with us. So, and we'll try and keep this content rolling your way.
Absolutely.
And, did you start a Twitter handle yet?
No, I have not. I ended up not doing that on Sunday, but once that is live, I will broadcast it on here and on the website.
Yeah, yeah. Then we'll have two Twitter feeds that will be spitting some stuff out. So,
but while you're at it, if you can follow Hans, what's your handle?
Mine is at the BitByte Pod 1.
Nice.
I think that's and what it is.
Yeah, I think that's it. I thought that was it, but I wasn't sure. But yeah, you've been posting a few things, some graphics and whatnot. So
yeah, we've got some videos that are up right now on. I've been tempted to go ahead and just get myself verified on Twitter. I hate to pay, but you know, I'm like, maybe it'll be worthwhile. Maybe, you know, just to have, like, I can tag some things in certain spaces and we can keep certain things going. But yeah, we've got a sign up now video. We've got the, you know, just a video telling you to listen. And then of course we got the reminder that we put up there saying not your keys, not your Bitcoin. So keep that in mind too. So.
That's right. Sounds good. All right. Well, do you have anything else, Hans?
No, I think I'm good. So thank you all for listening.
Bye.